Are you ready to get breakthrough faith? Breakthrough faith. That's the message today. Now, how many of you know we live in a world that is broken, a world that is separated from God, and this broken world is full of people who are broken people and are in desperate need of a spiritual breakthrough? How many of you know we are surrounded by people like that? Amen? That's the world in which we live. And this broken world affects all of us in some way. The condition of humanity, the condition of all of humanity, is a spiritual condition. Think of it. It is a spiritual condition. The condition of America today is not a political problem. It is a spiritual problem. A big one. A spiritual problem. All of us here today are in some form of a spiritual condition. Now, your condition may be good. All is well. You're enjoying the blessings of God. Your condition may be on a downward path based upon life's circumstances that you may be dealing with. So all of us here today, we are in a spiritual condition based upon several factors. But breakthrough faith, let me just give you a real quick definition. Breakthrough faith simply means a new and higher spiritual condition. That's what it is. A new and higher spiritual condition. Now, breakthrough happens when we believe God and when we trust that God is going to do supernatural things. I want to live with a bold, obedient faith so I can see supernatural things happen. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Breakthrough faith. That's why you got to keep believing. Because remember, I say it all the time, the devil is after your faith. But don't surrender it. This is one of my favorite verses in Ephesians 3:20. And it says this, now to him. Every time I read it, I think it just makes me look heavenward. Because it's an address to Almighty God. To the Lord Jesus Christ. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that is at work in us. Thank you, God. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Full of faith, full of wisdom, full of the Holy Spirit. My friend, that's the kind of spiritual condition that we want. So that's why I want to talk to you about breakthrough faith. Now, this verse of Scripture is powerful. It says that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. He is able to do. So I just want to zero in on that phrase right there for my first point. God is able. Whatever you're going through, God is able. Whatever your trial, whatever your tribulation, whatever your need, God is able. Don't ever lose sight of it. God is able. Now, one thing is true concerning human beings. We have a tendency to get ourselves in a mess from time to time. Anybody ever been in a mess? All of us have. Maybe you're in a mess today. However it happens, people often find themselves in deep water. Human experiences can bring us into a confused, disappointed, upset, tired, and even discouraged condition. All of us here today are in some kind of condition. Every one of us. We are all in a spiritual condition. All of us are in some kind of condition. So, Another thing that humans are good at is creating problems for ourselves. I mean, right? Creating problems for ourselves. This is something that I say often, and I'm going to say it again today. We are where we are based upon a series of choices and decisions that we have made along the way. Whether we like where we are or we don't like where we are. We are where we are based upon a series of choices and decisions that we have made along the way. How many have made unwise financial decisions? Right? Bought that car, you knew you shouldn't have bought it. Bought that house, you probably knew you shouldn't have bought it. Opened that credit account at Dillard's. And you've been wearing new treads ever since. How many have made unwise financial decisions? How many have made wrong relationship decisions? Oh, let's go now. Come on, somebody. Yeah, how about business decisions or ventures that we didn't seek advice about? What about that drink or that drug that you thought, it's no big deal? Then all of a sudden it controls your life. Then all of a sudden it's all that you want. It's all that you are living for. It controls everything. If we were to share people's stories here today, how long would the list be of personal experiences that many are still trying to recover from? Now, King David, in the Old Testament, King David had a way of trouble and getting himself in deep water. But remember, God is able. And he gives us grace even when we don't deserve it. He'll get us out of our mess, even though we got ourselves in that mess, because God is able. Pastor, I can't pay my bills. God is able. I'm so sick of being sick. God is able. Listen, whatever it may be, never lose sight that God is able. Why? Because he is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. So let's notice David's breakthrough that stands out. In Psalms 40, one of my favorites, he said, I waited patiently for the Lord. Reminds me of what I read in the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews says that it is through faith and patience that we inherit the promises. So sometimes it's not Chick-fil-A drive-through service. Chick-fil-A has got it down. I mean, the line can be down the street, but they're going to get you through there fast. I mean, they got it figured out. So we are used to drive-through mentality, right? But David said, I had to wait patiently. It wasn't a drive-through miracle. He said, I had to wait patiently for the Lord. But he inclined to me and he heard my cry. Thank you, God. Then he says this, he brought me up out of. Man, I love it when he says that. He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. And he set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. Then all of a sudden he said, he put a new, oh my God, I might preach today. He put a new song in my mouth. He put praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. Sometimes you just got to dance your way to victory. Sometimes you just got to shout in the midst of your trial, in the midst of your trouble. Keep believing God. Why? Because God is able. In difficult times, in the darkest moments, God is able to rescue us. The Bible says he makes a way when there seems to be no way. He has solutions when we may be at our wits' end. He has solutions. God can deliver you and move supernaturally on your behalf. All you need is breakthrough faith. That's all you need is breakthrough faith. Keep believing. Whatever has happened to you, realize this, God is able. Hallelujah. David understood it. He experienced it. We can go through Bible character after Bible character after Bible character that illustrates this point, that God is able. How does he do it? How does God do the impossible in our lives? And again, the answer is through breakthrough faith. If you can believe God, that he is the God of the impossible. And that's why we read in Mark 9:23, Jesus said, if you can believe. Remember, he was dealing with a father who was at his wit's end. He said, Lord, my son, he's a lunatic. He said he rolls on the floor. He foams at the mouth. He said, man, I need help. You talk about at being at your wit's end. So he comes to Jesus. And he said, if you can do anything. How many of you know that's not the way you want to approach the throne of God? When you come to Jesus, you don't want to put in there, if you can do anything. So that's when Jesus, he said, I'm going to give some revelation to this father. He said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And why is that? Because God is able. You know why he's able? This is my next point. Because he is the God of exceeding abundantly. Let me visit Ephesians 3:20 again. Amplified Bible. Now to him who by in consequence of the action of his power that is at work within us is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly far over and above all we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. Man, I mean, that is loaded with truth. Because he is the God of exceeding abundantly. The word exceeding is from this Greek word that means beyond measure, to superabound, to exceed the ability to contain. Think of this. God inhabits all of eternity. He's a big, 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 big God. And he's a small devil. Never lose sight of that. He's a small devil. He's like a little ant. Y'all ever have those little sugar ants? We had a little problem with sugar ants. They call them sugar ants. I don't know what makes them so sweet. But those little rascals were all over the kitchen counter. And I was like, Becky, you got to do something about these ants. So she sends me to Home Depot on a mission to get something that's going to take care of the black ants. But the devil's like a black ant, sugar ant, just stomp him. Because he's a big, 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 big God. Come on, somebody. Amen. That's why the Bible says that he is exceeding abundantly. Now, the word abundantly is from this Greek word that means considerably more than expected or anticipated. Beyond expectation. So the phrase exceeding abundantly is translated as quite beyond all measure. So you got to get a revelation of God. Do you have a mentality of a small God or a big God? You got to get a revelation of who God is. You got to get it in your mind, in your spirit, in the depth of your soul, that God is God. And he is able to do, as the scripture says, above more than you can even dream of. And the message here is that God wants to release his anointing upon us above and beyond what we even think or even imagine. A release of power that is even beyond our understanding, because he is the God of exceeding abundantly. He's able to do more than you could ever imagine him to do. It is beyond measure. Listen to this in John 3:34. John the Baptist. He's given us some insight into the person of Christ. And this is what he says in John 3:34. For since he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, proclaims God's own message. Now I want you to let this next statement just kind of settle in for a moment. God does not give his spirit sparingly or by measure. The world will give you a little bit. You know, they're even talking about rationing gas. The people with this, let me get into some politics right now, with this new Green Deal that's going on. Yeah, there you go. They're talking about rationing gas and they don't want you to try. I mean, come on. Just give you a little bit. So they want to just give us a little bit. You ever notice you go into a grocery store and they have a sale ad? It's what they call a loss leader. Get people in. You're going to sell them the cheap stuff so you can rip them off on the expensive stuff. That's the strategy. So you go in and you know, whatever the loss leader item is, limit two. See, we live in a world that puts limitations on things. They want to restrict our travel, restrict, you know, our lives. In the world, everything is about a little bit or restricting or limiting. But we're talking about God, who is exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think. So John says, God does not give his spirit by a measure. In other words, but no, notice what he says next. He says, but boundless, boundless, boundless is the gift God makes of his spirit. Hallelujah. So the measure of the spirit upon Christ is boundless. You know what that means? That means it's exceeding abundantly, above and beyond, more you can ask or think. This verse says that God is working by the power that is in the believer. And it's all in the person of Christ. So all that he is, I have received. See, the moment you come to Jesus, you step into everything that he is. All that he has becomes yours. That's why the Bible says that every born-again child of God is an heir of God and a joint heir of Jesus Christ. So I step into everything that he is. Listen to how Paul states it in 1 Corinthians 1:30. He says, but it is from him that you have your life in Christ Jesus, whom God made our wisdom from God, revealed to us a knowledge of the divine plan of salvation previously hidden, manifesting itself as righteousness, thus making us upright, putting us in right standing. In the opening of this sermon, what did I say? Everybody here today is in a spiritual condition. Everybody. You are in a spiritual condition. So he's talking about a spiritual condition. He says that we receive righteousness in Christ, thus making us upright, putting us in right standing with God, and our consecration making us pure and holy. And our redemption, providing our ransom from the eternal penalty of sin. Do you realize what this is saying? It is saying if anyone is in Christ, they step into his eternal life. They step into his wisdom. They step into his righteousness. They step into his sanctification. They step into his anointing. Are you still with me today? So we're talking about a God who is exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. So what this is saying, that his anointing is without measure. So as a believer, I step into all that he has provided. So breakthrough faith is operating within me according to the incredible power that is in Christ. Hallelujah. So I keep trusting. I keep believing. I keep moving forward. I keep deepening myself because I am going into Christ and all that he provides. And that's why I love 1 John 4:4. He says, greater is he who is in you. He says, you are of God, little children. So right there, catch it. He's talking about a spiritual condition. Are you still with me? You are of God, spiritual condition, and have overcome them. Because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Now he's talking about the devil and all of his, here come those minions again. Well, let's just, I always like to kind of zero in here and there on biblical history. So he says in this verse, the emphasis is on the anointing. We step into it because we step into Christ. But he says, greater is he who is in you. You have overcome them. So who is the them? Well, biblical history tells us that there was a group in biblical times that were called the Docetists. The Docetists, they believed that Jesus was an illusion. Now, Jesus Christ is historic. The birth and life of Christ is historical fact. Even Time Magazine has presented that. Even some of the major news networks have presented that. But I have even encountered people who even question whether he ever even came. Well, this group, they believe that Jesus may have in some way been divine, but his humanity was an illusion. So based upon their belief, it would negate the death of Christ on the cross. It would negate the resurrection, the bodily resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And the context of 1 John 4, he's talking about the spirit of the Antichrist that is operating in the world through these crazy ideologies and these false doctrines and these false prophets. And so that's why he says, you are of God and you have overcome them. Because you have stepped into the righteousness, your spiritual condition has changed. Hallelujah. And you are in the anointed one. And that's why it says, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. So that brings me to the next thing. Because I want to talk just a minute about unbelief. Because unbelief misses the blessing. Now, Mark's Gospel chapter 6. This is some of the saddest verses in the Bible that I know of, right here. It says he was not able to do even one work of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sickly people and cured them. And the Bible says Jesus marveled because of their unbelief, their lack of faith in him. What is our sermon series? Keep believing. Keep believing. Keep trusting. Don't hang around with the doubters. Don't hang around with people who are not going to throw fuel on your faith. Disassociate from those kind of people. Now, I'm not saying cut them off, be mean, nasty. But listen, you must understand, you got to hang around with faith-filled people. You got to hang around with people of vision. Amen? You can't allow the spirit of the world and unbelief to get in you. And the Bible says that in in his own hometown of Nazareth. What a sad story. Jesus entered his hometown of Nazareth and could not do much there because of the unbelief in the people. I mean, that's what it says. Their lack of faith. He was not able to release the anointing because of their lack of faith. Now, I want you to get this about unbelief. Because unbelief is defined as unfaithfulness and disobedience. Did you realize that? That's the biblical definition of unbelief. Unfaithfulness and disobedience. It means to lack confidence or expectation in God. The Word of God warns us of the spirit of unbelief and how detrimental it is to us. Unbelief refers to doubting or rejecting the Word of God. Let me visit this with you. In Hebrews chapter 3, it says, "And to whom did he swear that they should not enter his rest? But to those who disobeyed." There's the connection to the definition right there. You see it? There's the connection. What is unbelief? Unbelief is defined as unfaithfulness and disobedience. So notice what we read here. And he's talking about the Israelites in the wilderness, by the way. Going back to the Old Testament illustration. "And to whom did he swear that they should not enter his rest, but to those who disobeyed, who had not listened to his word, and who refused to be compliant or be persuaded?" Wow. So we see here that they were not able to enter into his rest because of their unwillingness to adhere to, trust in, and rely on God. Notice this. Unbelief had shut them out. Oh, just let that soak for just a second. Unbelief had shut them out. The most blatant form of unbelief is the rejection of God's commands and his instructions. To reject biblical commands shows that someone has an unbelieving or a rebellious spirit. The people in Nazareth missed out on God's blessing because of their unbelief. Then we have this story. The Israelites failed to enter the promised land because of unbelief. Think of it. Think of that. Now, the reference in Hebrews 3, when he talks about entering God's rest, it is a reference to the promised land. And the promised land symbolized, are you ready for it? A spiritual condition of salvation. Hallelujah. It represented the peace and favor of God. That's what it represented. Remember, if you go to Old Testament history, God gave them a promise. He was going to bring them out of Egyptian bondage, and he was going to bring them into Canaan's land. And he described it as a land flowing. Are you catching that? Flowing. He is the God of exceeding abundance, a land flowing with milk and honey. I read that and I was like, Lord, I don't drink milk. I might have a little honey here and there. But it was symbolic. What he was saying to his people, all of your needs will be met. Everything you have need of, I am going to provide. There is blessing in this land. There is provision in this land because I am the God of exceeding abundance and everything that you need. Listen, what was he talking about? He was talking about a spiritual condition. And he said, but because of their unbelief, a spiritual condition of unbelief. Says they were shut out of the promised land. I mean, how sad is that? See, that's why you got to keep believing. You got to keep trusting. You got to keep moving forward. You got to keep advancing in the things of God. You cannot allow the things of this world to trip you up. Whatever trial you've gone through, whatever disappointment you've had, just make a confession. God, I don't understand this, but I trust you. I don't know why I've had this fiery trial, but I trust you. I don't know why these things have happened. I don't know why I've had these setbacks, but I trust you. If you need a real lesson, go to Job. Job lost everything. He lost his children. He lost his wealth. His wife hung around just to aggravate him. Because she said, "Oh man, why don't you curse God and die?" But Job would have none of it. And then the Bible says that he made this faith declaration when he said, "Though he may slay me, yet will I trust him." Hallelujah. Because then he said, "Because I know that my Redeemer lives. And on the last day, he's going to set feet on this earth." He lost 7 children. Lost 7 of them. But the amazing thing about that story, I love at the end of the book of Job, because the Bible says that God gave him double for his trouble. Hallelujah. It said that God doubled all the wealth that he lost, all the cattle, God doubled it. All the livestock, God doubled it. All the resources, whatever it was, God doubled it. But there's an amazing thing that stands out, because he lost 7 children. But then you go at the end of the story and it says God gave him 7 more children. Why didn't God give him 14? Because those 7 were still alive. Oh, come on, somebody. See, God sees things differently than what you see it. So he did not have to double his children because he still had them. But they were in heaven. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Well, let me give you the last point. I got to wrap this up. Breakthrough faith releases power. Never lose sight of it. Again, let's visit Book of Ephesians chapter 1. Let's include verse 19 and 20. "And so that you can know and understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of his power in and for us who believe, has demonstrated in the working of his mighty strength." It says, "which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places." So then we go a little further in the book of Ephesians, or even in chapter 1 it begins, and then we go a little further and we find that he causes us to sit. He causes us to dwell. He causes us to stand. He says you are seated together with Christ in heavenly places. That's a spiritual condition. I am seated together with him. This is an incredible thought, because he brings us to the resurrection. Notice what he's saying. The exceeding greatness of God's power, who is it released to? He says, "and so you can know and understand the immeasurable, unlimited, surpassing greatness of his power in and for us who, in us who believe." Don't stop believing. Don't stop trusting. Keep moving forward. Visionary faith, victorious faith, forward faith, breakthrough faith. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The greatness of God's power is released to those who believe. Believers receive, doubters miss it. Come on, somebody. Believers receive, doubters miss it. The power of God is released to believers. So this is telling us that the exceeding greatness of God's power is our possession. But we must activate it by faith. And when it's activated, it's released. It's like taking a... That's why I love this little illustration. Guy goes in a hardware store, he buys a chainsaw. I've used this before. Some of y'all might gonna remember this illustration, but like I said, I got so many new people now. Congregations, you know, has increased a lot. So guy goes and buys this chainsaw. He comes back into the hardware store. He throws a chainsaw down on the counter, and he says, "This chainsaw is good for nothing. I want a refund." He said, "I can only cut two branches with this thing." Clerk looks at the chainsaw, puts the choke on, pulls the starter cord. Chainsaw roars to life. And the customer said, "What's that noise?" If you don't start it, you only got cut two limbs. But when that thing is roaring to life, man, you're gonna cut limbs and branches and tree trunks and oh, come on, somebody. See, you gotta learn how to plug in to the power of God. You activate it by faith, and when it's activated, it is released. The working of this mighty power refers to dynamic spiritual energy. The power of God, this divine energy, is released in our lives. His power is made available to those who believe. God has unlimited ability. We've learned that today in this lesson. He releases upon those who live in breakthrough faith. This exceeding greatness of power raised Christ from the dead. Think of that. Resurrection brings the dead to life. Things that are dead, God can resurrect. Dead marriages, God can resurrect it. Dead emotions, God can resurrect it. Dead in health, God can resurrect it. Family members who are spiritually dead, God can resurrect it. Maybe you yourself are in a dead condition. Remember, everybody's in a spiritual condition. God can resurrect you. Hallelujah. Why? Because he brings dead things to life. All you need to get you going is breakthrough faith. And that's why we read this in John 5:21. Just as the Father raises up the dead and gives them life, he makes them live on. Even so, the Son gives life to whomsoever he wills. To whomsoever he wills. And he is pleased to give it. What? What? That means he wants to release it. Do you know how difficult it must have been for Jesus to leave Nazareth, his hometown? And the Bible says he had to go to other villages and other towns. You know how hard that must have been? Because he understood exactly their spiritual condition. He said, "This is sad, but they're going to remain in it because of their unbelief." What are you believing God for? What is the area of your life where you need power released?